Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful 13th day of May. May the day. Interesting. It's going very quickly this year. Maybe not for some of you, but wow, has it been fast for me. I'm a very busy man, and I'm very grateful to be with you on this beautiful day, and I want to thank my sponsors who make all this possible. It is absolutely impossible to be able to thank them for everything they do for Aspire, for me, to make these radio programs possible. It really is important, and I want to thank them. They never fail me. I hope that you can become a sponsor. That would be really lovely. If you have never considered the fact of being a sponsor, maybe today is your day. Sponsors get to do things for humankind that are very, very special and unique. They get to do things like not only fund this radio program and our TV programs, but they serve humankind. And this is a really important thing to do during these days and times when everything is very difficult in this world. Everything is very, very difficult. Your gifts, your donations pour out to people in hospice, allowing me to go there and care for them and work with them, as well as these radio programs, which are heard by hundreds of people, and of course our TV program, which is even seen by more. So I hope that you will become a sponsor. You get a lot of wonderful little goodies for being a sponsor. You really do. You get the message of the month, access to over 222 discourses I've done over the years on my TV programs and the series I've done. You also will receive each and every month twice podcast, video cast, and commentaries. So all of that is yours for being a sponsor. Go to the website at aspire.org, just for the heck of it. And there you will see in the center of the page that four-letter word that says support. Just click on it, and a drop-down menu will come. And you will be informed as to what this is all about and how you can help and where your donations go. It's important. Thank you for your consideration. Religion. I get questions about religion all the time. And I don't know how you're going to feel about this program, but to me, religion is just as silly as politics, and the two belong to each other. And we use religion as a way to probably get away with our politics, to teach us morals, because we make up our own morals. Religion is defined as a cultural system of behaviors, practice, and ethics. That's just about all religion is practices about worldviews. We have some kind of supernatural, transcendent spiritual definitions for it. There's all sorts of craziness going on, and a lot of dumb things have been done in the name of religion. I think religion is a patsy. I also think religion is very necessary for people who are in politics, because people in general, the populace, just doesn't know how to act or think or what to believe in. And everybody needs to put their hat on something and say, this is what I am. This is what I believe in. This is blah, blah. This is blah, blah. And in living in that way, in the manner in which we live, it is extremely ugly. So many ugly things, from wars to personal tragedies in the world, but Waco, the whole thing. All done with religion. So, let's get to religion. First question comes from Janice in Fort Worth, Texas. What is the purpose of religion? Are you a religious person? Although you don't sound like it, I never really know, Janice. Janice, I am not a religious person. I have a great deal of difficulty with the foolishness of religion. I think religion is a device that is used on those who come into this world who have not matured spiritually. They have not come to a place where the depth of spirituality can even be considered. So I look at religion as a great falderall, a great issue, a great problem in people's lives. And it is a great problem in people's lives. We don't know it. We don't understand religion. We don't understand what it's really all about because we don't know the common sense of just being kind to each other, decent to each other. We just don't get it. So here we are with religion. I am not a religious person. Okay, so you asked me, what is the purpose of religion? It is fundamentally to give people the rights and wrongs of their own life because they can't figure it out on their own and they can't be kind. People have a difficult time with philosophy. So they can't maybe come up with a philosophy that works for them because everything in this life, whether it be religion or politics, has to have a payoff. If there is a payoff, if I do this, this won't happen. If I do that, that will happen. It's more like this. If I don't do this, good things will happen to me. If I do that, bad things will happen to me. And that's as far as it goes. Then you need a patsy, someone who's kind of proven this, and fervent people who will, so to speak, make the patsy a person who is in debt. You are indebted to, let's put it that way, that you're indebted to. And who do we use for that? Yes, Jesus, we use that. Now, in the Buddhist scriptures and texts and everything, it's totally different. Buddha is not used as a patsy. So in the West, the reason we like the Jesus thing and the story of his life is because it starts out innocently, you know, with this miraculous birth, and then all of a sudden it turns into great tragedy. And what people don't want to know and don't want to hear is that none of that is true, but we have to believe it's true because we like the myth. People like myths and stories. They like a sci-fi, and Jesus has turned into a sci-fi. And it has been this way for years. You have to tell the story that appeals to the public in a way that makes them believe or think that this is right and that is wrong and this is good and they have the right savior and somebody's got to come in here and fix this crap that we've done, but nobody wants to take charge and really fix it because you couldn't get people behind it. If you took the life of Jesus and you really listened to his teachings, you would find that most people would have nothing to do with him. He's much more important as a symbol of a savior and something to believe in, even though you don't understand what he's all about and what he was doing and what his life was. That's not important. What is important is you have someone to believe in, something to believe in, and in all of that, you can, so to speak, govern your behaviors by certain elements that are revealed to you through religion, through the church, through your whatever, your minister, and come to a place, or a priest, come to a place where you know how to behave, because kindness does not appeal to your genetic nature. Compassion is not a part of our DNA. So with compassion and DNA and the way our mind works, living off of, well, genetics, we live off of the chemistry of the body, we live off of the way the organs, our brain and our synapses fire off, we live under all these things, and this is the way we live our life. So in religion, it legalizes, verifies, authorizes us to live the way we want to live. And we want to keep religion, you know, close enough to us to know what the ethics of our life should be, but far enough away where it doesn't too much get in the way of what we want to do really and what we really want to believe. So there you are, Janice. The purpose of the religion is to, through guilt and shame, keep us in line. That's all it's about, just to keep us in line, to thou shalt not kill, so we don't run around with a with guns on our waist like in the Wild Wild West and start shooting people just for the hell of it. So it you know, it doesn't keep it from happening, though. I mean, obviously, you can tell that we're probably worse now than we've ever been. And if we were gun-slinging nation, which some states evidently want to do, it's going to be bad. But it will reduce the population, and that might be good. Anyway, a little sidelight there. I hope that helps you, Janice. Please forgive me. Namaste. In the whole thing, you know, nobody looks at the religious leaders that we have embraced, Buddha and Jesus being the two biggies. There have been others, Lhasa and the Tao, but we look at them and only admire their behavior. We don't understand what their teachings were all about. We look at them as people who taught us how to live to pleasure the man God who made us. I don't know why. I don't know. In this day and age, I'm surprised women are allowing God to be a male. I don't know. Okay. Wait a minute. How come the Me Tooers aren't on God? Wait a minute. This just hit me. If Mary, the mother of Jesus, was impregnated by God, did she know it? Did she do a couch call? I wonder. It makes me think. Okay, next one comes from Andrew. He does not tell me where he lives. Religion is important. How do I find a true religion that would help me and the world? I want to become a part of something big. Andrew, this explains the whole thing. Everybody wants to be a part of something big. I think that was very well put and extremely intelligent. I think that's what people want. They want to be in a position where everything they do is good and they're a part of something bigger than themselves. It's just the way it is. So when you look at religion, you think it's important because why? Probably because you think it will make us all afraid enough to live with each other in some kind of pseudo arrangement where we don't kill each other. And that would not be true. But that's the way we like to think of it. Religion is the only way in which the pedestrian mentality, the average person, can go about their life and live their life in accordance with one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Now, when you look at it from that point of view and you have someone that is supposedly Moses getting these commandments from God telling the world that they should not kill, you have to understand inside yourself somewhere that this was man-made. That, you know, if a creation were made in order to survive, it's going to kill each other. It's just the way the DNA and the genetics work. And you were given DNA by supposedly God, which I don't believe is true. But well, let's just follow the average person's thoughts. You were given this DNA by God. You were given genetics by God. You are a part of this human experience by God. I don't think any of you asked for this or can remember asking for all of this. And all of this is happening. And who is responsible for all of this? That's the key. Who's responsible? Well, it's God. And we can't know, according to religion, we can't know what, you know, God's intent is for us. We're just here. Maybe he got lonely, needed a drama or something. We certainly provide all of that, do we not? When you start looking at the need for religion, and I don't know why you think you need religion, I understand that people need some kind of moral premise. Otherwise, they'll just go crazy. And the only way to support that moral premise is through the whole idea of fear, of burning in hell. Now, you know, if you see the ludicrousness of all of this, that there's a heaven, there's a hell, the people who obey go to heaven, the people who don't obey go to hell. If you start thinking about this whole benevolent idea that God is supposed to be this loving dude that made all of us and knows of our needs even before we ask and yet would send us to hell, we came here with no manual, no manual at all. There wasn't anything when you were born, there wasn't a little manual there that came out and you read it or the parents read it and feed the child this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. You didn't get one of those. It was all just like, well, I guess we do this, I guess we do that, I guess we'll do this, I guess we won't do that. It's a guessing game. So if you want to find a true religion, you have to find it in your heart. You're going to have to look within yourself. You find it in your authentic heart, not your human heart. But you're not going to go that far because most people don't. Why would they? They don't see the need to go that far. So we trundle along in our life, living our daily life by the religion of some sort of trumped up philosophy and assumption that we can understand through our human mind. And then we call that the true religion because it has enough fear, enough hate, enough right, wrong, good, bad stuff going on to make it appear to be true. What makes a religion true to a person? It's all based in their own perspective, their own preferences. It's an assumed thing that we do. How do you know what's real? How do you know what true religion is? And wanting a true religion, you say here? I don't know. I think that the only truth there is the one you find in your heart, in your being. And when you find that great truth in your being, it is one that cannot be spoken. So you don't go into the whole idea of the schematics of religion and the narrowing down of religion to people you don't even know. Who wrote the Bible? You don't know these people. You really don't. You wouldn't buy a piece of property not knowing the history of it and what it can do and if there's conveyances or whatever. You wouldn't do that. You would be probably pretty prudent and think about, well, if I'm going to spend all of my money on this and time, then this is what I need to do and this is what is important and blah, blah. You'd be thoughtful about it at least. Maybe not mindful, but certainly thoughtful. But not with religion. People just need something to believe in. I always think of the religious person as the one who's screaming inside of themselves, I don't get this. I don't understand why I'm here. I don't understand why things are happening the way they are. And who the hell is in charge here? And I think that's what religion answers. Who's in charge? God. What the hell's happening? Well, only God knows. What am I doing here? How did I get here? Only God knows. And for a lot of people, the majority of people on the earth, that's enough. They don't care about anything else. That is enough. and they don't go deeper, deeper, deeper. They don't quest inside themselves for insights. They are not willing to see the bigger picture at all, because it's all about DNA and genetics. It's biological, it's chemical, and that's all it can be. And there you are, end of subject. So that's why. I hope that helps. Sure, I do. I'm sure it didn't, but I hope it did. Please forgive me. And namaste. There's no way to argue these points. I mean, you get down to the ridiculous, and that's what religion is totally ridiculous. It's like a comic book. And, you know, we didn't take them seriously, but some people do, and there's where we go wrong. Okay, the last question comes from Jack in Northern California. He says, how do I learn what is right and moral without religion? Do we not need it? Jack. With all the religions that are in this world, and there are plenty of them, hundreds of them, there's been the Civil War. There's been rumors of wars. There has been World War I, World War II, Vietnam, the wars we're in now. We're always warring. What the heck is wrong with the creations that are here? And if God were really the God that you believe he is, then why would this be happening? If we are the image and likeness of God, then he must be a warring person too. He has to be. He has to be. If I'm the image and likeness of God, then God must be a warrior. He must be a killer. Evidently he is. Because you see people die every day. I do in hospice every day. People ask me, why is this happening to me? I didn't do anything wrong. Well, what makes you think that this is a matter of right and wrong? There's so many screwed up things about religion and what people have taught, and they have become absolute. How do I learn what is right from wrong, you ask, and moral without religion? There are certain things that Jesus taught, that Buddha taught, that Lhasa taught, that all great masters still teach. It's about compassion. And the trouble with compassion is you can't teach it. I can talk about it with you till I'm purple in the face and it wouldn't change a single thing. Compassion is not something that appeals to the warring nature of our human DNA. And we just aren't much interested in it at all. But that's what we do. We live in the warring factors of our ego. And we sustain our ego through those warring factions. And we make it religious. Jack, it would be so much better for you if you're willing and ready to take another approach. Maybe an approach where you explored beyond the concepts of your absolute obsession with good and bad, right and wrong. Maybe, and I know it's an obsession because you ask what is right and what is moral without religion. There's something called even common sense. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How simple is that? Love ye one another as I have loved you, as Jesus said. How simple is that? Forgive. Forgiveness is truly important. Unless you have forgiven, you shall not be forgiven. How simple is that? How much more do you need? If you just took those as the premise of your life, wouldn't it be enough? Wouldn't it be enough for love to enter into your life? And if Jesus is right that God is love, wouldn't it be, basically the common sense of the average person to explore what love is beyond the emotional factors that we get involved in that have nothing to do with the meaning of our life? Nothing. Look deep inside yourself. You will see. it is really this whole life, this whole universe is love, pure love. And that is the only religion that there is. It's the religion of the heart. I'm out of here. Thank you, Jack. Please forgive me. Have a beautiful weekend. I will see you next weekend here. I hope that this helped. You can always send me emails and texts and all sorts of things. You know how to get a hold of me. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.